Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
So let's just talk about vision one more time because it is critical to sustaining the life and the vitality and the strength and the direction and the joy that's in our lives. It is the pathway to purpose. You would be surprised at the number of ministers and pastors that I come across that have no vision, or their vision statement is three pages. If you don't know what it is, how will anyone else know? Our vision statement's very clear, very simple: impacting lives for Christ. Reaching up in worship, reaching out in evangelism, reaching in discipleship. You can remember that. You can know that. Anything outside of that, we're not interested in trying to go beyond what we feel like God's called us to be or to become. Proverbs 29, verse 18 in the New Living Translation. When people do not accept divine guidance, isn't that powerful? Where there is no vision, they run wild. And it's not just in the world. There are people in the world that are more strategic about their business than some people are about the church. There are people in the world that are more strategic about their personal life than the church is about its vision. And we ought to be the most engaged, adamant, strategic people on the face of the planet, because we know that God is for us and his ultimate desire for us is to win, for us to be successful. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Anything that happens in your life that hinders your vision restricts your mobility, because vision will cause you and put a demand upon you to be versatile, flexible, more mobile. There will be things in your vision that will cause you to be less rigid. Remember, Jesus spoke very clearly to those that would listen, and he said to them, "You cannot take new wine and put it in old bags, because if you do, the new wine, which will expand, will cause the old bags to tear." New wine is what God is doing in the now. Old bags is what we've always done, and we try to create a scenario that will not allow us to be flexible. No matter what your age is, God desires for you to be flexible. It does, however, become more challenging the older you get. But if you learn to be flexible, then you can allow God to move you and receive what he wants to do through you. The biggest danger of you not fulfilling God's call, destiny, purpose, or your vision is the fact that you underestimate or undervalue what God has placed within you. It is a story down through the ages. Because we look at our lives and no one knows us better than us. And so when we hear prophetic words of greatness, when we write prophetic words via the mind of God that he gives us, we begin to challenge ourselves because we don't see ourselves measuring up. In the next 35 minutes, I want to help you understand that you can shift your spiritual season. Now, natural seasons we cannot shift. I would if I could. Today would be 75. The grass would be growing. There would be a slight breeze in the air, and somebody would bring me a sweet tea. And I would be preparing to mow my grass this weekend. But we're not there. But I want to tell you that if you feel like you're in a winter season spiritually, you have the ability to shift seasons. But it has to be a determination. It has to be a mindset. I will give you at least two of what I know are 15 doors that can change your thinking, that can open a door in your mind. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think is the way that you will become. If you allow external circumstances to control you, you will shut the door on the possibility of spiritual seasonal shift. And we have got locked into the church and haven't understood that. And we've said, well, we're in a fall season in my spiritual life, trouble's coming. And we brace for it instead of taking the same energy to shift in our mind biblical pathways so that we can reap a harvest in a winter season. Don't look at me like you don't believe it's true, because I will prove to you biblically that it took place, that it can happen. So anyone can dream, anyone can fantasize. Anyone can sit around a table and drink coffee and talk about what they're going to do, but it takes strong men and women of God to take the next step, to be flexible, to be mobile, to reach out and allow the bigness and the vastness of God stretch them to where they are willing to take risks and willing to step beyond themselves. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. This is Bible study. I hope you have your Bibles out either on your iPad or your phone. We have so many ways of being able to connect with the power of the Word. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. It's not going above and beyond. It's reasonable that you totally and absolutely surrender your life and become the sacrifice of God upon which God can move and take and shape and mold. How do I do that? Be not conformed to this world. Don't allow yourself to be taken and driven by external circumstances that cause you to digress and think like the world and become like the world and flow with what the world does, but be transformed, metamorphosis. Come out of the cocoon and become the butterfly that God wants you to become. If you're under pressure, don't allow yourself to be frustrated because God is hiding you while you mature. Hello? We'll look at the life of Joseph in a minute, because God hid Joseph in Potiphar's house. He hid him in a dungeon and brought him out at the proper time. Do you still believe that God is in charge of your life? Do you still believe he's ordering your steps and directing your paths? Then why do we complain about our current situation, that things are not working out the way we would like, unless we do not allow ourselves the flexibility, the mobility to allow God to change us internally? Because before things change externally, they must change internally. As a man thinketh, so is he. How do you see yourself? What do you say about yourself? When you begin to speak words like, I can't, I won't, I'm not able, I don't have, then you create fences and boundaries that you will not allow yourself to cross. What you should be saying is, I have all sufficiency to do all things as Christ enables me. I am able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do. I will not resist what he wants to do. I will allow him to change me internally. I will allow him to hide me in the house until the proper time, because when I come forth, Job says, I will come forth as gold. Help me, somebody. I may be hidden in this pocket, in this cocoon for 9 months. Trouble may encompass me, but when I come forth through the fire, I shall come forth as gold. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We're going to do a series on Sunday morning about the mental warfare that is taking place in our culture and in the church. And if you can win in the battlefield of the mind and of your thoughts, and discipline your mind not to allow your mouth to speak when your mind is engaged receiving information, you can be very successful. and you will be established on a rock and not be moved. The challenge in most people's lives, Christian or non-Christian, is that what goes in their mind comes out their mouth, and they don't have any filters. And we have a filter called the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit convict you and prick your heart and say, don't say that. You will delay your ultimate success if you continue to speak negative things. By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How am I going to demonstrate? Through the gifts of the Spirit, through the power and the fruit of the Spirit. What is the perfect will of God? How do I become the conduit or the pipeline through which God can flow? I must renew my mind. I must allow the Word of God to have preeminence in my thoughts. And my thoughts and the Word that I embrace has everything to do with vision, purpose, destiny, what I want to accomplish. It grieves me so much, and I've asked God about this. I see too many people in the kingdom that are just wandering from one day to another. So one of two things is happening. Either they're afraid to take the next step, or they're too lazy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, but it's the truth, and you know it, and your silence validates it. We are either too lazy to do what we know because it's going to require a certain amount of energy exercise that we may or may not feel emotionally that we can do. Or we're fearful that if we take that next step, God will not be there to meet us. Or to take that risk, will He back us up? That's why you have to know with assuredly that the path you are on, God has orchestrated, God has established. That's why when young men come to me and say they want to preach, etc., I give them a message called, the call is everything. Because if you don't know you're called, circumstances will derail you and cause you to go sell cars. If you sell cars, that's wonderful. Let me know. Got a deal? Like to know. So we discovered a few things last week, and I want to look at that. The first fill in the blank in your notes tonight is this. The pathway to your destiny begins by presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. The pathway to your destiny always begins by offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. What does that mean? God, everything I've ever been, everything I am, everything I will ever be is yours. We say that, we sing it, we read books about it, but when it comes to practical living, it has to be a part of who we are. If you can't commit your life totally, absolutely, unequivocally, look it up. That means without hesitation, without reservation, then the joy of the Lord will escape you. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I promise you, you will need the joy of the Lord in situations where adversity arises. Sometimes by your own choices or by the opposition of the enemy as you pursue the will of God. I was online today with some ministers, and there's a young man that is a good friend of mine, and we have sown into their church plant. And as they have been preparing to launch their church this coming weekend, they have over 130 people that are a part of their launch team. So before they ever have an official service, they have 130 people committed, involved, interacting, bought into the vision. We're on board. The interesting thing is they've had a Muslim couple want to be a part of the launch team. Does anyone see the potential for a possible challenge or conflict? But they've just kept loving on them, knowing that the love of God will lead them to the goodness or the love of God. And so this young man got a phone call this week from this Muslim lady, weeping and crying and saying this, I just want to die. Do you know why? She's not a believer. Allah offers no hope. especially if you're a woman. So what if you were married and you know that when your husband dies and if he offers himself as an explosive device, he has 72 virgins waiting on him, so they say. And he will automatically get a ticket into heaven. Otherwise, you stand before an angel that will weigh what good works you did and what bad works, and they'll go behind the screen and monitor that and see if you're worthy. Of all of the characteristics of Allah, 93 characteristics of Allah, not one of them is love. And yet our God, that is who he is. And so she began to weep and cry. And one of the other individuals on their launch team talked to her and said, listen, Jesus can help you. Would you let me pray for you and let Jesus heal you? She said, I don't want somebody to pray for me in the name of Allah because I know that won't work. Why is all of this happening? Because somebody had a vision. We are not just on the train hoping something good will happen. We are a part of an organism spiritually that is empowered by the breath of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is our foundation. And the Bible says, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. No matter what your circumstances are, help me. I'm trying to preach and help you shift out of the season that you're in. Because whatever season we're in will determine how we pray, how we worship, how we pursue God. Well, I'm just in a winter season, so I don't feel like stretching my scrawny little limb to God and worshiping. That's when you need to worship more. Is when everything is going haywire and nothing is working out and it looks like the fog is coming down the road and you can't see anything. And yet, we have not quite adapted to know how to switch seasons. Our attitude affects the potency and the power of our gift. And so if we relinquish our attitude to the season that we're in, we will be up and down like a roller coaster. You know somebody? Hopefully not close. We all know somebody that is motivated and their attitude is determined by what they're going through. But let it not be said of us. Tell that someone. Don't let that ever be said of you. Don't let it be said of me. Just give them the opportunity and tell the person next to you, if you ever see me having a bad attitude because I'm going through a bad season, you have the permission to whip the word of God out on me and just smack me upside the head and tell me no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The peace of God passes all understanding. So we talked last week a little bit about being selfless, secure, and submissive, and that those are three ingredients that will help us successfully arrive at the fulfillment of our vision. I want to take a few moments and talk to you about the life of Joseph, the 17-year-old dreamer. And he comes out of a dysfunctional family. Read it in Genesis 38, how Judah sleeps with his daughter-in-law. There is rejection. There is hatred. There are multiple problems in this family that you begin to see as you begin to read. And yet, God selects this young man. There is preference. There is hate. There is deceit. And yet, God speaks to him, and this young man exhibits some characteristics that will carry him through to the fulfillment of God's promise, even though it will take him 13 years. David will run for 13 years with the anointed oil of Samuel in his locks. He'll be chased by Saul. He'll pretend to be emotionally and mentally challenged when he goes down to the camp of the Philistines. Saul, who became Paul, was in the desert for 13 years. and we honk in the line at McDonald's if our food is not ready in 45 seconds. And our culture is trying to press and form us into a mold that is hindering spiritual success in our life. And so he has this dream. He's committed. He will renew his mind. And he will be faithful to the vision that God gave him, even when his life is under pressure and when problems begin to follow. Joseph made a grave mistake, and some people make this mistake, telling your dream to the wrong people. You don't tell your dream to people that are haters, dysfunctional, deceitful, murder with their mouth, character assassination. Those are not the people that you share your dream with, because your blessing and the fulfillment of your dream is dependent upon someone else. So be very careful who you select to share your dream with, your vision with. I made the mistake when I first came to town of sharing a bit of my dream with someone, and I was told you should just get out of town. And if I would have listened to them, I made the mistake of sharing a portion of my vision with an international minister. And they told my pastor, after he requested they pray about my transition from a specific community to here, my pastor was told, you tell Brother Dolan he shouldn't go. What do you do when other people say you've lost your mind? And then you begin to look at your circumstances and wonder if what they said is true. You have to know what God has set and established in your heart. Whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to impact your neighborhood, whether you want to lead a small group, whether you want to walk in greater anointing, whatever it is, you have to be convinced, and you have to be committed to it, and you have to be faithful to it. And if you don't renew your mind over it, then the dream will continue to be just out of your grasp. The second fill in the blank, I wrote this. People who don't reach disqualify themselves for change. If you don't ever reach beyond where you are, if you don't ever grasp, if you don't ever look, if you don't ever move in the direction of what God is leading you to do and step out in faith somewhere, then you will never embrace the potential and the possibility of becoming more than you are. We live in a culture that people are content to allow other people to spoon feed them everything. And so we're creating a culture, please hear my heart, that is lazy and fearful. And they are becoming dependent upon other people who now become controllers of their destiny and manipulators of their future. And so when you begin to look at Joseph's life and the dreams that he had, and then you find yourself in the 39th chapter of Genesis, he was very reliable under hardship. He has been sold to the Amalekites, and they take him down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, now brings Joseph in under his care. Let me look at verse 2 with you of Genesis 39. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. That means if he had a master, he was the servant. He was in the wrong place, wrong time. His circumstances screamed at him that his dream would not come to pass in that season. Would it be fair to say that Joseph was in a winter season or a fall season, and nothing was fruitful, nothing was blooming? What he believed, the limbs of fruitfulness were falling off the tree. It was cold. The winds of adversity were blowing against him. Is that fair to say? But he refused to submit to that season. He shifted seasons. Are you with me? Are you grasping that? He refused to submit to his external circumstances. The Bible said he was prosperous and he had favor with his master. I can see that you're incredibly excited about that. How do we do that? It seems to me that right now would be a good time to give you two keys to open the door of your mind to shift your spiritual season. Because we read through the Bible and we don't understand. Joseph has this enormous dream of what's going to happen. He gets sold by his brethren. He's in a pit. Now he's in Egypt, far away from his family. And yet the dream is really still alive within him. He's committed to it. He's got to renew his mind. He's going to do his best in the position and in the season that he's in. The season that he's in is not dictating to him. He is still going to be honorable. He is still going to be fruitful. You cannot prosper as the Lord is with you and have grace in the sight of the one that's over you in verse 4 if you're not willing to shift seasons. He could have said, well, you know, looks like trouble's ahead. I guess I'll just wait. It's not necessary for me to do my best in this season. Doesn't look like my dream is going to come to pass. There are no external circumstances that are conducive to facilitate the nurturing of my dream. So why should I serve this Egyptian? Why should I serve an idolater? He knows nothing about my God, and yet the Lord prospered him. And he found grace in the eyes of his master. And so in the midst of all of that, there are a couple of things that we need to learn to do. Can I give you just two keys that will open the door of your mind and help you shift seasons? Well, I don't have to. It's okay. Because even though external circumstances don't reveal that your season of fruitfulness is coming, I tell you, it is shifting. There are things that are shifting now in the atmosphere. If you pray, you know it. If you're a worshiper, you sense it. Number one is Psalms 118 and verse 17. This is a key that will unlock the door of your mind that will help you shift seasons. David said, I will live and not die and testify of the wonderful things of the Lord. We normally use that scripture when somebody is on their deathbed, but can I tell you, when death is all around you and your circumstances scream at you with fear and pressure and it doesn't look like anything is shifting or transitioning, that's when you've got to open the door of your mind, and because Satan wants you to see the death around you. He wants you to see that everything is barren, nothing is happening, that God doesn't have the potential. God can do anything if he can get you positioned in alignment with his will. Your season can shift. You can be in a winter season and still prosper. You've got to declare, I will live, I will walk in life, and I will not embrace death. I will not embrace the circumstances that the evil one is attempting to put upon me that all of a sudden looks more real than life. I'm telling you, if you declare that over your life, it'll shift your season. It'll open a door in your mind of possibility, because we need to prove the acceptable will of God. How? By the renewing of our mind, so that we can be transformed, brought up into an image. Have you ever said in a situation in your life, well, I guess, you know, it's hard and it's long road, and I guess I'll just walk through the darkness. Well, then stay away from me with that attitude, because I can't help you. You've made up your mind. You're a chronic complainer. I can't help you. Until you're willing to help yourself and open the door of your mind with faith and say, I'm going to live and not die and testify of the wonderful things of God. Do you hear the faith and the expectation and the anticipation in that scripture? Number two, let me give you one more, then I got to get back to Joseph. You've got me distracted. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 13 says, "You shall be the head and not the tail." In other words, my circumstances are not going to drag me away from the purpose of God. I may be feeling like I'm in this season. I may feel like the enemy is creating havoc. Why is it that we give more credibility and validity to the devil than we do to God's ability to intervene in our life and begin to declare what God has already said? I am the head and not the tail. That means I can see. If you're the tail, you can't see. I'm not going to allow myself to be drugged into the circumstances that are trying to surround me that I can't get out. And when we allow ourselves to view the external circumstances of our life and give them higher credibility and higher credence than we do the authentic authority of the Word of God, we find ourselves locked in a prison, but we do not prosper and we do not see the grace of God. Awful quiet in this holy place. How do you know that? Because I've had to walk it. I've had to walk it. When we got the diagnosis for Faith years ago, it was on a Wednesday night. On the way home, Deb and I immediately made a decision. No matter what the doctor says, the season we are in, we're going to shift it. We're going to shift out of that. We're not going to allow external circumstances to keep us locked into a season where we do not have the authority, the power, the energy, the strength, the joy, the perseverance, and the patience to do what needs to be done to help the external circumstances. So we had to make certain declarations. And so we would declare, she'll live and not die. We had to declare, we're the head and not the tail. God is for us and not against us. We're not going to allow our circumstances to determine how we act, we speak, we walk, we worship, we pray. Not going to do it. This is basic Christianity 101, my friend. And yet it seems to elude so many people because we're caught up with the circumstances of the day. And part of that is because we pay more attention to CNN than we do God. We put cultural events of the day ahead of God's ability and power. And we get sucked into the debate and the cultural diversity and negativity and engage in that rhetoric when we need to be flying at a different altitude and not allow the season that the enemy's trying to put upon us or the season that's coming to us to cause internal growth. How will you ever grow in a winter season if you submit to external circumstances and not declare what the Word has said over you? You won't grow. You'll come out of that winter season. And when the spring season is ready to come upon you, you will not have the seed to sow from your lips that will take you into a harvest. So those are just two. I'm not giving you the other 13 tonight. So in Genesis 39, the Lord is with Joseph. He strengthens him. There is a certain satisfaction in Joseph's life and a certain contentment. You have to learn to be content in the season that you're in so that you can declare the Word of God and move and shift out of that season so that you can reap. I've been in winter seasons and God's caused me to reap. You say, well, that's not possible. It's only not possible because you judge God by natural seasons. As long as the earth remains, come on, Noah. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest, winter, spring, summer, and fall. We have no control over natural seasons, but we have control about shifting our spiritual season. Does worship attract the presence of God? Even if we're in a season where it doesn't look like things are going well? Why should we delineate and retreat on our worship or our prayer and our fervency and passion in pursuit of God? Why do we allow external circumstances to control our life unless we're really not as connected as we say we are? unless church has become a place we go and not an entity that defines who we are. So the next fill in the blank is this. The willingness to be submissive will build a bridge to your dream. Now, Joseph's submissiveness was not to the season that he was in naturally. His submissiveness was to the Lord. Therein, the Lord prospered him, was with him, and gave him grace in Potiphar's sight. So when you are submissive, because if you read Joseph's life, while he's in Potiphar's house, and even while Potiphar's wife is accusing him in front of Potiphar, there are things that you will not find in Joseph's life. And those are the five things I've listed. You will not find disrespect. When you are submitted to the things of God and to the path that God wants you to walk, there will not be disrespect in your life because you understand authority. And that's how God moves. Number two, there'll be no disagreement. I'm not at a place where I'm disagreeing with what God's going to do, and I'm not going to engage in a battle of argumentations and disagreement with other people because they do not hold the key to my future. Paul said this to Timothy in one translation, stay away from vain babblings, which some people falsely call knowledge. Number three, there was no divisiveness in Joseph's life because he knew who he trusted. His dream was alive within him. He was committed to that. He knew that God was the author of the dream. The dream had authenticity because you can measure the authenticity of your dream by the hatred of your enemies. Hello? Tweet that. You can measure the power and the authenticity of your dream by the hatred of your enemies. Why would your enemies hate you so much? Why would hell raise its fury if your dream wasn't real and God-given? Number four, there was no deception. There was no deception in his life. He was honest. He was straightforward. He was clear about his purpose. He was clear about his dream. Number five, this is what I enjoy about Joseph. There was no discontent in his life. How do you know that? Because he was still willing to use his gifting and ability when he was in prison. He still was honorable. He was still upright. He was placed in prison in the 39th chapter of Genesis in verse 20. And then in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 14, we see that he told the butler and the baker, when you get out, you know, would you remember me and show me kindness? I pray, make mention of me to Pharaoh. He says this, that he might bring me out of this house. We would have said, just remember me to Pharaoh so that I can get out of this freaking, stinking, awful, ignominious, futile manure hole. He didn't say that. He said, just remember me to Pharaoh so he can get me out of this house. He was content. You have to understand, if you're going to shift spiritual season, you have to understand how to be content. Because discontentment will cause you to speak things that will cut off your avenue and the door from opening in your, I hope I'm making sense, and the door from opening in your mind that can give access for faith and power, etc. Let me give you the five things that happened while Joseph was in the dungeon. They're just explicit characteristics of dungeon living. Some people enjoy dungeon living. They enjoy complaining to you about how bad things are. And then they'll tell you at the end of their complaint, but I know, I'm just hoping that God somehow will change it. No, you're not. No, you're not, because of the very fact that you're content where you are. What you did was just put a lie on the end of all of your exhortation and oratory that was nonsense. And you wonder why you don't have any friends and nobody wants to listen to you, because nobody wants to visit you in the dungeon while you complain. In the dungeon, number one, there's dryness. There's no sense of refreshment. And yet he, like David, refreshed himself in the Lord. He had to stay purposeful. He had to keep his mind renewed. He never lost sight of his dream of the fact that God was with him. If he did, then he never would have prophesied over the butler and the baker. He never would have exercised his giftings. Why should I exercise my giftings? Why should I interpret a dream if I'm going to be left here in the dungeon? God, if that's the way you roll, then bless God. Hallelujah. Jehovah. In the dungeon, there's darkness. You can't always see clearly. But what you see physically does not determine the truth that something can shift. Number three, he was in a dilemma. I would say he had a problem. He was wrongly accused. First Peter says, when you're wrongly accused, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory rest upon you. Number four, there was disappointment. Things were not working out the way he thought. Are you there? Are things working out in your life the way you thought? Do you feel like you're in a dungeon? Do you feel like you're in a confined place? Are you in a restricted place? Don't you know that your season could shift any moment? If you'll stay committed, renew your mind, and stay faithful to what God has placed in your heart. Number five, there was delay. He thought for sure the butler and the baker, somebody would express to Pharaoh his ability and his gifting and his talent. Surely somebody will tell him. And nobody said anything, but always remember, delay is not denial. He is the interpreter of dreams. You have to understand your blessing is connected to someone else. If you're in the kingdom of God and you're in the church and you're not interacting with people, you're cutting yourself off from the potential blessing that God wants to bring in your life, because blessing is always connected to somebody else in your life. Let me just encompass all of this and jump to Genesis 41 and verse 51 and 52. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. He is promoted to the grain bins of Egypt. He still has not revealed who he is to his brethren. He's married. He has two children. I think this is incredible. And it reveals Joseph's character and the strength of his vision and how he walked the pathway to purpose. Verse 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil. When you come to that point where God shifts your season, do not spend time rehearsing to everybody how bad you had it while you were trying to arrive at your destiny, because they don't want to hear that either. They will be open to the character moments and the things that are positive that helped you shift your season and shift out of where you were and got you through. Verse 52, and the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. Oh, my friend, it is possible to be fruitful in a winter season. It is possible to shift your season. Come on, let me just declare it to you one more time. The first door that you need to grab a hold of and make sure is open is Psalms 118, verse 17. I shall live and not die. I will prosper. What does life mean? Look that up. It's powerful. And the second one is, I am the head and not the tail, and I will not be drug around by circumstances. I will overcome my circumstances because God is greater than my circumstances. I will not be drugged down by my circumstances. Listen to me, whether they change now or whether they do not change, I will not allow my circumstances to change me and who I am. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stay with me tonight. I challenge you just to begin to thank God and make a declaration over your life because of who he is. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare and speak and prophesy over everyone that is listening within the sound of my voice that is in this auditorium, that God, you will cause life to burst forth within them, that they will not be moved by the instruments of circumstances at times arranged by the evil one to destroy us. No matter what season we're going through, our vision and our pathway and our purpose has not changed. You are the author and the giver of all things. You are the life breather. You are the mountain mover. You are the way maker, God. Lord, we declare tonight we are the head and not the tail. We will not be dragged around by our circumstances. We will not allow our circumstances to change our view, our image of our purpose, our destiny, and God, most of all, of who you are. So right now we lift our voice and we thank you. We give you all of the praise, all of the glory, the honor, the wisdom, the might, the dominion, the riches, the power, Lord. We worship you tonight. We say of the Lord, thou art my strength and my fortress, God. In you I trust, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We honor you. We glorify you tonight, God. Hallelujah. 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 You're our healer, our strength, our salvation, our deliverer, our freedom, our liberator. God, you are the shifter of all things. I pray for those that are in difficult seasons. Let them knock on the door of their mind and open it with the power of the Word of God. Let them make declarations over their life that will bring a shifting and a fruitfulness, even in affliction. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We honor you tonight, God. We declare peace, strength, blessing, and favor over the lives of your people, those that are watching tonight, God. We declare it. Declare miracles tonight, Lord. Miracles of healing. The young lady with a problem in her shoulder, we call it healed tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Join us online every Sunday and Wednesday for our streaming services. You can follow us on Twitter at New Life Sullivan or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Life Sullivan.